It's how the world works, honey. Though I know it's hard to see that now. The idea of loving anyone else more than Asher seemed as heartbreaking as it was impossible to accept right now.
I don't know about that,
I replied sullenly. Again, Mom squeezed me tight.
You're young.
Life is rarely decided at 18 years of age. We don't give our hearts away at 15, never to love again.
That was where she was wrong, I replied.
13. I gave it away at 13. With a sigh, she kissed my temple.
Oh, Dixie.
There's a big old world out there, one you've yet to explore. There are so many beautiful experiences that yet lie ahead of you.
Trust me, sweetheart. If Asher Sutton was meant to be your only love, then it would have happened that way.
I closed my eyes, fought back the tears.
I don't want to think it's over.
The future is a funny thing. It may lead you around the world and bring you right back where you started. I wiped away a single tear that had escaped.
Steel isn't going to be easy.
He'll fight this. Try to stop me. Mom ran her hand over my hair, brushing it out of my face.
That's because you're beautiful and smart, loving and kind. No man will ever want to let that go, not without a fight.
Asher did. He let me go without a fight. I didn't say the words aloud, though they were there. Always would be. It would be hard for me to truly trust enough to love again, the way I'd loved Asher. If that were even possible, if Mom was right and someone else came along one day, would my heart be whole by then? I didn't think it could ever happen. Let me feed you before you go, she said, patting my arm and releasing her hold of me. I couldn't eat. My stomach was in knots.
No, I'm not hungry.
I have to do this now, before I back out. It has to be stopped.
You've got to work all day.
You need something in your stomach, she argued.
I'll get something during my lunch break.
She didn't look convinced. I'll bring you a late breakfast when I run to Harrod's to get my vitamins. Arguing with her was pointless. I nodded and considered another cup of coffee, but the queasiness in my stomach stopped me. I sat the cup down and gave Mom a hug.
Thanks. I love you, I said.
She rubbed my back.
I love you more.
Never forget that. I knew she was someone who would stay, make my dad happy, from the first time she said those words to me as a child. She made us a family again. She made us whole. I grabbed my purse and headed for the door. Here, at least take this protein bar, Mom said, following behind me and holding a peanut butter Clif bar in her hand. I took it and thanked her, hoping to have an appetite later. She kissed my cheek one more time. I could see the love and worry for me on her face, the concern shining in her eyes. When outside, I took a deep breath. This was going to be hard, but I could do it. Steele would be up in the barn with his first cup of coffee by now. I wasn't sure when Asher went to work, though that might complicate things. But I knew he would avoid me at all costs, and today, I needed that. The drive down to their house was short, but I used it to prepare myself for every argument Steele would throw my way. Hurting him was the last thing I wanted to do, but continuing to make Steele believe we had a chance was wrong and selfish of me. I didn't like being the villain, but I'd made my bed. Now I just needed to lie in it. I parked at the barn. Didn't walk past their house. This was stressful enough without the other Sutton boys getting involved in our talk. I closed my door gently, in case anyone was still sleeping. The short distance from my car to the barn covered in a matter of seconds. It still felt like the longest walk of my life. Steele was there like I knew he would be. He was good at what he did. Dependable, hardworking, staying as long as it was needed. And often remaining after everyone else had left for the day. He deserved so much more than I was ever capable of giving him.
I stepped inside, and he turned immediately, the heavy barn door creaking with my entrance. The cup of coffee in his hand was a familiar sight. He was just as I had pictured him there, dressed for hard work, knowing what he had to do. His hair roughed slightly from sleep.
"Well, good morning," he said,
with a slow, lazy smile. He wasn't fully awake yet. Not enough caffeine. "Hey," I replied, hating every word before I even said them. Straight away he sensed my mood. He was smart, observant like that. I had to act fast. "Steele, let me talk first, please. I want to say my piece. I didn't come here to argue." He thought about it, wanted to say more. It was all there in the way he was looking at me, but Steele remained silent because I'd asked. Another reason to love him. Another reason to let him go. I spoke again. "I can't continue doing this. It's unfair to you. I'll love him until the day I die. I accept that. You're a wonderful man. Someone who should have a girl on his arm who loves you as deeply as you love her. But I'll never be that girl. I'm damaged. I need you to understand that. Steele, you have to let me go." I'd planned on saying more, my ramblings making me lose my train of thought and forget what I wanted to say, but I spoke the truth. I said the facts, and now I had to give Steele time to respond. His eyes held the disappointment and hurt I knew would come from this. I expected that. But seeing it was difficult to witness, knowing he was happy when I first walked in, and that only I was responsible for taking that away from him. He sat his cup down on a shelf, made a study of the ground at his feet. I waited some more, wondering what he was thinking. Would he fight this? Should I have said more? I kept questioning everything I had said, thinking I could have said it better. He suddenly replied,
"That's it, then. I tried. I gave it my best. But never got the same from you. Knew that. Forgave you for it, time and time again. But I held out hope that things would change. If I was there for you, loved you hard enough, became what you needed, that it would be enough. That I would be enough. But you're spoiled. Want what you can't have. What I offered would have never been good enough. And that makes you not good enough for me. I want more. I want a woman who knows her own mind. Can find her own damn happiness without a man's help. And that will never be you. So go on, Dixie. Leave and don't come back. You want Asher, but he will never want you in return. He's moved on with his life. Now go waste the rest of yours on a pointless, empty dream." Although I saw Steele Sutton standing before me and heard the words coming from his mouth, I was having a hard time believing he was saying such cruel, hurtful things to me, no matter how much I deserved them. "Don't stand there and look all hurt and offended. What did you expect from me? Tears? Hell no, Dixie. I'm done trying to make you love me. If this is what you want, then that's what you can have. I just ask one final thing of you. Leave the diamond ring I gave you. It was meant for a woman who is worth it and deserves to wear it. That isn't you. I had the ring in my pocket. That was what I'd planned to do anyway. But I didn't imagine it happening this way. I pulled it out just as Steele took a step toward me and extended his hand between us, his palm up and his fingers twitching with impatience. The glare in his eyes was so foreign to me. The Steele I knew was gone and a cruel, heartless man had taken his place. And that man was reaching for his ring. I placed it in his hand, his fingers closing on it quickly as if I would take it back and run. He then said, "You can go now."
Those four words were filled with so much hate and disdain that my legs almost gave out on me. I stumbled but forced myself to draw strength from within, turning away and sprinting from the barn and the monsters I had created.
Chapter 24. Asher Sutton. Joe Green made wooden lawn furniture. It was a popular item in Malroy, and the only place you could buy it was Denver's. Today, I'd been going back and forth to Joe's to get the chairs, tables, and front porch swings that he'd made for the summer season. Hannah waited on me out front to deliver every load. She was showing me where to display them. That was her job, other than answering the phone and working the entrance of the business. She handled the design of the store, the placement of the items they sold, and stuff like that. I was on my last load when Dallas's truck pulled in. Hannah noticed him first. She was moving a table around to put a pot with some fancy-ass flowers inside it, hoping to draw customers' attention. Dallas wouldn't be coming to see me unless there was a problem. He'd have me bring something home if we needed it at the house. No reason to come pick it up. I wiped the sweat from my forehead with my towel, tucking it back in my pocket, and hopping down from the bed of the truck just as he was heading my way. "That your youngest brother?" Hannah asked, squinting against the sun. I replied, "Yeah. Give me a minute," walking toward him. My first thoughts, of course, went to Mama. I was the worrier of the bunch. "Take your time," Hannah called after me, though I was too focused on Dallas to even care. The frown on his face meant this was about an annoyance rather than a problem. It couldn't be Mama. I sighed with relief. "You seen Steel?" he asked. "No, why, should I?" Dallas shook his head and said, "No, just thought maybe he'd come looking for you. He's been gone since Dixie came by this morning. She drove off and he left shortly after, slamming his door, then spinning his wheels so hard gravel went flying all over the place. I was headed out to hit the bag some before work when I saw it all. Mama said to give him some time, then go looking for him. I figure he's a big boy and can handle his shit, but fuck if I'm gonna tell Mama that. A world of hurt would rain down on me." I knew this was coming after Dixie had talked to me yesterday. She did the right thing, and I was glad, though I knew Steel was crushed. She didn't love him the way she should. He needed to move on. All three of us did. I was tougher than Steel. I'd handled this thing far longer. "I have 2 more hours here, then I'll go looking for him," I promised. Dallas scowled like that was stupid. "He needs to go get laid." "Tell Mama I'll find him. Don't worry about it. He doesn't need your sarcastic comments. Not right now, anyway." "He sure as fuck not gonna want to see you either. We all know she broke up with him because she's still hung up on you." No point in saying that wasn't true. I might be exactly who he needs to see right now. "Whatever, I'm heading to Jack's. I need a beer. This is too much fucking drama. It's like I got a bunch of goddamn sisters." "Jack won't give you a beer. You're 17, but call me if he shows up there." He was already going back to his truck. "Yeah," being his lengthy response. When I turned around, Hannah was arranging furniture nearby, and I could tell she'd been trying to listen. There was that nosy look about her. I walked back to the truck to get the rest of the swings, hoping to avoid her questions. I got 3 unloaded and placed where she wanted them before she cleared her throat. "I overheard some. I couldn't help it. He was talking loudly. Do you, need help finding Steel?" Overheard my ass. She'd been straining her neck to hear us talk. I replied brusquely, "No, I need to do that alone." She busied herself with the Adirondack chairs, fucking around with the all-weather pillows before looking back again. "I thought they were engaged." This town talked too damn much. She never said yes, Hannah. "Oh." Her voice was soft, like she was disappointed. "I can't imagine a girl turning Steel down. He's such a good guy and all." The need to defend Dixie was strong, but I fought it. Had to let it go. Love is a fickle bitch. Can't pick and choose where your heart will lock in. If we could, life would run a hell of a lot smoother. We'd all be goofy happy. That made her silent for a while. I was done unloading and about to ask if she needed me to rearrange anything else that was too heavy for her. Instead, she put her hands on her hips, and got that look that meant she was going to offer her opinion whether I wanted it or not. Some people want what they can't have. It has nothing to do with love. It's more of a way to protect themselves from really feeling something deep. You were Dixie's first love. She's built that fantasy in her head and needs to move on from it. Yeah, she should have kept that to herself. I counted backwards from 10 before meeting her gaze. Or maybe some things aren't your business, and sticking your nose where it doesn't belong speaks volumes about you. Her cheeks immediately flushed. I'd driven my point home, and I knew I had been harsh. I wasn't a mean guy. I controlled my temper most of the time, but I couldn't stop myself on this occasion. Bray would have lit her ass on fire and left her in scalding tears. His temper could burn down a whole damn forest, but I'd gone too far. This isn't easy. We're dealing with it the best we can. Having others who don't know the whole story give their opinions is, well, it's unkind, Hannah. There's so much shit you don't know. I was trying to ease the sting of my words and realized that I might have only made it worse. She nodded. Of course, you're right, I shouldn't have said anything. I don't have a filter on my mouth, my mama has always said that. She looked forlorn, and I hated myself for making her feel that way. The fact she owned up to her actions made me respect her a little more. Hannah wasn't a bad person. We all say shit we wish we could take back, Hannah, I replied, offering her a small smile. She smiled back. Thanks, she returned, her cheeks still pink. I can appreciate it when someone knows they've messed up and owns up to it. I don't always do that myself, not many people do. Her soft laughter was attractive and genuine. I have a very blunt mother. She takes no shit, and I guess it's helped me in my life, without me even knowing it. I figure you'd be the same either way. My mama shuts us down fast, no punches held. But not all my brothers have learned much from that. Some did, others didn't. Hannah smirked. I'd say you and Bray, for one, are nothing alike. I remember him from high school. I gave her a nod and said, none of us are like Bray. He's different from us all. Dallas, however, is running a close second on the smartass scale the older he gets. Bray looks hot while he's being nasty. I'm sure that helps with all the girls he goes out with. Like a charm, I assured her while smiling. She laughed again. It was pleasantly appealing, not annoying or grating for once. Hannah would make it just fine in this world. Getting to know her was nice. I could admit she was attractive, and I liked more than just her looks, but my heart was not in it. When I left here today, I wouldn't think of her again until I returned to work tomorrow. Her face wouldn't stay in my mind. Her smile would fade ever so quickly. Only one face always stayed with me. Even when I prayed to God for some reprieve.
Chapter 25 Dixie Monroe. Work went on and on. All day I'd thought about this morning's encounter with Steele. With relief also came sadness. He'd looked at me with such hate. That was hard to accept because I didn't want him to hate me. Steele was special to me, but I understood his reaction. I didn't want him to regret the moments we'd spent together, but wanting Steele to remember me fondly was selfish of me. If he needed to hate me, then I had to accept it. I would hate me too. I finished cleaning up the salon and wiping down the tanning beds, which was the part of my job that I hated the most. When it was ready for reopening tomorrow, I locked up and stepped outside, coming face to face with a very drunk Steele leaning against my Jeep. You're either stupid or just a bitch. I can't figure it out, Steele slurred as I slowly approached him. I stated the obvious. You're drunk. He cackled loudly, responding as if it were a mystery.
Oh, she's a sharp one, folks. Guess she's not stupid after all. Just a bitch. A mean old bitch.
It stung hearing Steele call me a bitch, but he was drunk and hurting, so I couldn't let it get to me. Instead, I tried to be sensible. Get in the Jeep. I'll drive you home. He gave me an incredulous look.
You think I'd get in that Jeep with you? Shit, girl, maybe you are stupid.
I want nothing to do with you. Nothing. You hear that, Dixie Monroe? Nothing. I could have pointed out that he was here to see me, that I hadn't gone after him. But I was dealing with a drunk man. I saw no point in arguing with him. You can't drive like this.
He pushed off from my Jeep, held his arms wide, then revolved in a dizzying circle, spinning while flapping his arms a little.
Do you see my motherfucking truck? Do you?
No, you don't.
How you reckon I'm gonna drive if it ain't here?
Steele was right. No evidence of a truck.
So you're just walking around drunk?
Ain't your problem what the fuck I do, he snarled. But the way his words ran together, it didn't sound as angry as he hoped.
Steele, you're here at my Jeep. I must wonder why, if I'm a stupid bitch. I was not going to reason with a drunk man. I should text Brent and have him come get Steele. Bray wasn't around lately and wouldn't care if he remained on foot. And Asher. Well, Asher was no longer someone I could contact. Yesterday, he'd made that as clear as it had ever been.
Wanted to see if you were planning on running to Asher now that you're free of me.
No, Steele. I'm not. Asher doesn't want me. He made that clear to me. I broke it off with you because you deserve to be loved by someone who is not me. With their whole heart, and not only half of one.
He released a nasty laugh. Yeah, fuck that. I don't want anything to do with love. I'm over it. I can drink and fuck my way through life. Sounds a hell of a lot more fun than dating you.
I tried to hide the humiliation he made me feel with his words because Steele had more substance than that. He was kind and could love someone for life. Steele could give a woman a home and a family. I knew that. It had been one of the reasons why letting him go had been so hard. But that woman should be able to offer the same in return. I'd never been able to do that with him. His brother always stood between us and would have probably stayed there forever. You're meant for more than bars and one-night stands.
He stared off down the road as the cars whizzed by.
I thought so, too. But you know what, Dix? I think I'll like bars and a different woman every night just fine.
That actually sounds good to me.
I guessed all men needed to be a little reckless before they finally settled down. This might have been Steele's time to have a taste of that life. But I knew it wouldn't make him happy, at least not forever. Daddy always said a man sowed his wild oats before he realized that the love of one woman was all he needed to thrive. When I'd been with Asher and thought we'd always be together, Daddy would warn me outright.
Don't be planning a wedding and babies, Dixie. That boy has wild oats to sow before he's ready for that. He goes out and comes back to you in the end, then it's a love you can trust. You need to date other men, too. Might be more to life than Asher Sutton.
I hated hearing him tell me that. I would roll my eyes and ignore it. I couldn't stand the idea of Asher being with anyone else. But that was when I thought fairy tales came true, when I believed Asher was my future. My focus then returned to Steele.
Then, I guess you can go see if that's the life you want. It's not my place to tell you what is right for you. You're a grown man.
He turned to me, straightening his torso.
I just might thank you one day for breaking my fucking heart.
I had nothing to say to that. He began walking toward the town center, or rather swaying toward it. I considered following him, calling Dallas maybe to yank Steele from the street, when Asher's blue truck suddenly emerged from around the corner, The Sutton boys always took care of their own. I was no longer needed, so I climbed in my Jeep and quickly drove away. Asher didn't want to see me. Steele, even less. He'd said what he couldn't say sober. I also felt a little better. This morning left me raw, the wound remaining wide open, but Steele's words made sure that it would begin to heal. Steele had been an important part of my life for a year. We'd become a couple, and I'd wanted us to work until Asher came back. Now I knew that had been a lie all along. Steele would now be a part of my past, and maybe one day I could remember this and not feel sad about it. But that'd be a while from now. Leaving this town was my only option. I had to make a new life somewhere else. I didn't want to leave my parents. I hadn't wanted to leave Scarlett either. But now she'd left me. I liked this place. I loved my home. But my life here had always been intertwined with the Sutton boys. A new town with new friends and a new independence would help me get on with my life. I'd tell Daddy tonight I was ready to commit to Clemson in the fall. He could pay the tuition and I'd start making plans to leave Malroy in August. My chest felt heavy from knowing I had to leave, even though Asher would be leaving soon and finishing his last year at Florida. This town was still my connection to him. It was the place where he'd been mine. I looked in the rearview mirror as I came to a stop at the red light. Asher was outside his truck, talking to Steele, who was now more animated and yelling at Asher, while Asher remained calm and relaxed. Right now, they had to be both wishing they'd never met me. Dixie Monroe had been nothing but a problem. But soon, I'd be gone, and they'd be rid of me for good.
Chapter 26. Asher Sutton. This wasn't over with Steele. He'd cursed me, drunkenly ranted, and then asked for Brent to come get him. I left him there with him. Brent was probably who he needed right now. They both were hurting. They both needed to drink and forget. They could drown their sorrows together. Hopefully they wouldn't both wake up next to women they didn't know, but then, maybe that was what they needed after all. As long as they stayed away from the married ones. Bray was infamous for messing around with married women he didn't realize were married. It was a miracle he hadn't been shot yet. Brent and Steele were hurting, but they were both more cautious than Bray. I didn't want to go home and talk about Steele. He could tell them what he wanted when he was sober enough. What I needed right now was silence and my thoughts, but I knew I wouldn't find any peace. As I turned my truck onto the dirt road that led to the lake connecting our land to the Monroe's working farm, one that no one used unless Luke was fishing, at least not anymore. My brothers and I used to swim and fish there as kids, but those days were long gone. It had also been the spot where I'd taken Dixie's innocence. She told me she loved me along the grassy bank. I told her I loved her too, holding her naked body snugly against mine for the very first time. Most would say any teenage boy would declare love when he had a naked female in his arms. But I knew this moment had been special. It had been honest and real. I'd known I loved her before that moment. It had just fallen from my lips as emotions washed over me like a tidal wave. She hadn't been my first, but she was my one. I turned off my truck lights and sat there in the dark watching the moonlight dance across the water. Dad taught us to swim here. There were nights when I was away that I'd close my eyes and think of just sitting here. Recalling good days made me less homesick, but it also kept breaking my heart. All of a sudden, movement in the corner of my eye caught my attention. I turned to see Dixie standing several feet away. She'd been sitting, I hadn't noticed, but she was leaving now. I should let her go. It was best for both of us, the right thing to do, but I couldn't. Not here, and not right now. Not when some of my best memories came from this place. Here I felt weak, my soul longing for what it couldn't have. I got out of my truck and walked to her. She stopped, didn't move, her gaze locked on me. The moonshine seemed to draw a bright halo around her, as if she didn't belong to the night. "You come here often?" I asked. It was something I wondered about often. We had so many memories here. Did Dixie think of me when she came to the lake? "Yes, sometimes. Sometimes more than others." She didn't have to explain that to me. After this morning with Steele, I imagined she needed to be alone, much like I did now. "You did the right thing," I told her. "I know," she replied, not needing my approval. "But it was the hardest thing to do." I wasn't being condescending. "If you're out here worried about the shape you found him in earlier, drunk in the middle of town, he'll be okay." She gazed back to the water, her eyes no longer on mine. "He hates me now. Maybe he always will, but he said today he might thank me in the future. I don't think he meant it, but I'll hope and pray that's the case. Have to hold on to that." Steele told me I was a selfish bastard and that he wished I would have stayed gone. He didn't want my opinion or any other moral horseshit. He said that Dixie was free now, and that I might as well go take her since that's what I'd wanted all along. I'd called Brent and let him take over. Steele was drunk, and sober or drunk, he didn't want me there. "I'm leaving," she said, her eyes back on me, a determined gleam in them. "In August, I'm going to Clemson." She was starting over, getting away. That would be good for her. She'd make new friends, and there would be other guys. She might even fall in love again. My heart felt like someone was squeezing it by hand at the mere idea of her loving someone else. But I had to let her go. "You'll like it there. Beautiful campus. It was one of the colleges I visited." "I can start a new life," she said, nodding firmly with determination in her voice. A life where I was no longer in it, unable to hurt her anymore. We make certain choices in life because we have to. Others are made on a whim, and the rest, if we're fortunate enough, we think those through, taking our time to decide. I'm not sure which one of these scenarios made me close the distance between us, bring our bodies a breath away from one another and cup her face in my hands. That face I'd never forget. The one I saw every night when I closed my eyes and stayed with me throughout the day. I thought of nothing else as I lowered my mouth to hers, capturing it with a kiss. I'd longed for this moment for what seemed like forever. I wanted her in my arms again. Her body pressed against mine like this, and with a desperate moan, our kiss quickly escalated into a burning frenzy. Her hands slid under my shirt, soft palms caressing my skin. I could hear my own voice in my head telling myself this had to stop, but no part of my body was listening. I couldn't force myself to do it even if I wanted to. She was leaving, moving on, and I'd soon become a memory for her. That was all I knew. Maybe this was desperation. A futile echo of two people who'd loved each other deeply and were forced to let it all go. Nothing mattered to me in this moment, the past, present, or future. Because right now, with the moonlight playing on her face, a heavenly host surrounding this place where we'd spent so many carefree nights in the arms of the other, there was nothing but Dixie and me. If I had to choose a long life, or this one last embrace with her, I'd choose this moment, time and time again.
Chapter 27. Dixie Monroe. The ache I felt for Asher to touch more of me battled with the trembling from being in his arms again. I couldn't get enough. His hands moved down my arms and squeezed my waist.
Asher's tongue sliding over mine as every nerve in my body came alive. My hands gripped his back, desperate to get closer and make sure there wasn't any space between us. Not an inch. Asher grabbed my bottom and jerked me up against him. His hardness pressed into my stomach. I could feel the throb of his erection, my panties dampening even more. He lifted me gently, up and down, his pelvis rubbing against me. Asher's fingers bit into the flesh where my shorts had ridden up. I made noises I didn't know I was making, moving a hand to the front of his jeans to feel his bulge in my hand, the thickness of him in my palm causing him to lower me and my feet to touch the ground again. Terrified that this was over, that whatever control he had lost had come back, I began to open my mouth. But before I could say anything, Asher grabbed my shirt and ripped it over my head, his dark, hungry gaze locked on every inch of my body.
"Take off your shorts," he demanded,
discarding his own shirt and already working the buttons of his jeans. He watched me as I lowered my shorts. They fell on the grass beneath our feet, his eyes following their descent.
"Panties too,"
he ordered, and I quickly tugged them to the ground. We stood there naked, Asher's eyes devouring my flesh. I wanted his hands on me. His mouth, his body inside mine. "Asher," I began to plead.
"I want to kiss and lick every inch of your body. I want to take all night with you. But I need to be inside you, Dixie, right now,"
he said, before I could add anything else. I stepped closer to him and placed a hand on his chest. Tilting back my head, I stared into his eyes. I was no longer the same girl he once held and loved in this very place. I was older, stronger. I wanted everything from him, and I was not afraid to ask. "Fuck me, Asher," I said. His eyes blazed, his hand firmly grabbing my hair, but with enough gentleness not to hurt me.
"You want me to fuck you?"
he asked, the heat in his eyes turning into molten fire. "I want to still feel you in me tomorrow. I want each step I take to remind me that you are inside me."
"Jesus,"
he hoarsely whispered. He then spun me around by a handful of my hair, his other palm landing firmly on my butt. The sudden smack ringing through the air. I squealed from the shock and pleasure.
"You like that?"
he asked, doing it again. "Yes," I replied breathlessly. His hand kept smacking my butt, each slap stinging more than the one before it, my thighs beginning to feel the wetness between them. When he stopped, he put a knee between my legs and aggressively pushed them apart. His fingers searched for my wetness, a single digit climbing to the pulse of my clit. I cried out, my body bucking. He twisted, then pinched the quivering bundle of nerves, growling in my ear.
"You're soaking wet from your spanking. You like it when I play rough."
"Yes," I panted. "I like it all." Trapped in his arms, we moved us to his truck. He jerked open the passenger door and all but threw me on the worn seat before covering me and opening my legs, both his hands prying them apart. I was desperate to have him inside me. I wanted anything he could give me. I'd let him do whatever he wanted.
"Tell me to fuck you again,"
he said, his eyes lifting to mine, their color even darker now. "Fuck me," I replied without hesitation. With one hard move, he pushed his length deep inside me. We both cried out as I clawed at his back, needing him to stay there.
"God, that's tight,"
he breathed. "I want to be sore tomorrow," I said again.
"This pussy is mine, and by the time I'm done with this pussy, you'll remember me for days."
He gently slid from my body until the tip was almost freed before he pounded into me again. He grabbed my hair and tilted my head back, our eyes locked on each other. With each plunge and firm rock of his hips, we remained unable to look away, needing that closeness.
"This face,"
he said as he slammed into me.
"Always this face. It's all I see."
Tears stung my eyes. There was so much he was saying in just those few unguarded words.
"Is this what you wanted?"
he asked as he brought my body closer to its release.
"Am I fucking you hard enough?"
"Yes,"
My breaths were shallow, my orgasm so close it was hard to keep my eyes from closing in ecstasy.
You're so goddamn wet. Turns you on, doesn't it? To be spanked and fucked this hard.
Just by you was all I knew how to say. He growled, satisfaction rumbling deep in his chest, and then began moving faster, his breaths quick and heavy.
I want to fuck you forever. Be right here inside you until the earth stands still. Nothing is as good as this.
I clawed at his arms, the first tremors of my orgasm taking hold. Moving in like a warm tide inside me. My mouth fell open in a cry, but my eyes stayed on him. I wanted Asher to see what he did for me. How being with him was the only pleasure I ever wanted. As I fell apart in his arms, shuddering and chanting his name, my knees pressed into his ribs, arching higher and higher to feel him as deeply as I could. Asher then freed his own release, bathing my thighs and stomach. He didn't look away, groaning my name through the shudders that caused his body to jerk. I sat up and wrapped my arms around his waist. He'd regret this now. I knew him well enough to expect that. Before he could do that, I needed him to hold me one last time. His arms enveloped my frame and we stayed like that longer than I'd hoped. And when he finally pulled back, I didn't need to look into his eyes to know it was all over.
I've never felt that connected to anyone. Never will.
He said, his honesty surprising me.
I can't. Not now. Not with Steel the way he is. Dixie, there can't be more than this.
I replied tenderly. I know. He closed his eyes and rested his forehead on mine.
I love you, Dixie Monroe.
This was when I should have told him the same, but I'd already done that. And it had changed nothing between us. I said instead, I come here most nights. He stilled. I waited as he thought that through. He then replied,
Not sure I can resist that.
Good. I'm glad you can't. I wanted more of this. If it was all we could have, I was okay with that. My body was still humming from the pleasure. The addictive experience of having sex with Asher feeling like a pain-killing narcotic. He then added,
If we do that, I'm afraid I won't know how to stop.
Good. I'm glad you can't resist me, I teased. He laughed, his arms tightening around me.
I'd have probably cracked before now if you'd told me to fuck you like that. My dick has never been that hard.
The sound of your sweet voice asking me that.
It's a damn miracle I didn't throw you on the grass and gone at it right there like an animal.
Next time, maybe try that. I'll even get on all fours for you. I knew I was taunting him, but the image of him behind me made my tender spots begin to tingle again.
Dix, don't say shit like that after the pounding I just gave you. You're gonna be sore, and all I can think about is doing it over and over.
I wanted him to think about me all day tomorrow, to be as crazed with lust as I would be by the time he got here. I let my hands fall as I sat back. You're right. I need to get home. He sighed, got out of the truck, before reaching for my hand to help me out. His gaze shifted to my body where he'd released all over me, while my eyes traveled to his penis, which was once again hard and erect.
I'll clean you up, he said,
finding his shirt where he'd tossed it in the grass. I stood and let him wipe me down, knowing he wanted more. I was leaving Asher Sutton wanting me.
Get dressed, he said,
his tone sharp. I turned away before he caught me smiling. I took my time, looking over my shoulder, always finding him watching me. I'll see you later, I told him, heading for the path that wound up to my house.
That's it? Not even a goodnight kiss?
I stopped and flashed Asher a big, teasing grin. If there's a kiss goodnight, I'll most likely beg you to fuck me from behind.
He ran his hand through his hair and exhaled, blew a long breath into the darkness.
Dixie Monroe, you're gonna kill me.
Not Asher, was all I said. I hurried along the path, letting myself fully absorb the reality of what we'd decided to do. What we had was no longer a fairy tale. It would end, and I'd be destroyed once more. But for now, Asher was mine. A small part of him belonged to me again. A part I could feel and touch. And that had to be enough.
Chapter 28. Asher Sutton. I wasn't sure if in the light of day I'd end up regretting last night with Dixie. I knew Steele would be hurt if he found out. After yesterday and the way he'd yelled at me, I knew he'd be furious. It would most probably go to fists, with me just blocking his punches. I couldn't hit Steele. I wouldn't hurt him that way, too. Too much pain had been shared between the three of us already. It was different, yet the same with Bray, Brent, and Scarlet. They had all hurt each other because what one of them had with her was stronger than what the other could ever have. They'd lied. They'd cheated. We hadn't done that to one another, only our hearts had. I'd been selfless for years, ever since I found those damn letters. I'd made sure to protect everyone while I broke into a million pieces. That was over. The truth was out. Dixie had ended it with Steele. Why did I have to keep pushing her away? How was that fair to anybody? I hadn't dropped her and then decided I wanted her back just because my brother was with her. Hell, Steele hadn't even asked me how I felt about him dating Dixie. He kept it from me for a year. He'd not once considered how I felt, and when the truth finally came out, he didn't even care about how it affected me. He was only worried about himself and his relationship with Dixie. I would have never fucking done the same to him. We were brothers, but we were all so different. Since Dad had died, I'd been the one to make sure the others were okay. They relied on me, expected me to be there for them, but now, we were all fucking grown men. It was my turn to make a decision that would put my happiness first. I couldn't imagine my life without Dixie in it. Even when I tried, her face had always been there, following me into my dreams. We'd lost 3 years, both been hurt and scarred, but maybe we could find a way to heal together. Dixie deserved more from me. She wanted me to fight for her, to choose her over others. Something I didn't understand at first, but now I did more than ever before. I loved my brothers, but they weren't little boys anymore. I didn't always have to put their needs and wants first. We were all adults now, or almost. Steele was hurting, and I had to give him time. Once his anger had run its course and he was ready to listen, I'd talk to him about Dixie, which was more than he'd done for me. If he'd asked me beforehand, I'd never have allowed him to start a relationship with her, only because of the letters, not because I did not want them to be happy. But now things had changed, and the happiness of the only woman I'd ever loved was at stake. It was time for me to put Dixie first. As I exited the attic and walked down the hall, I heard Bray and Dallas laughing in the kitchen. I hadn't expected Bray to be up, much less laughing. He'd stayed away for days, kept his distance, but now he seemed to be acting normal again. He hadn't faced Brent yet, though. We all knew that was coming. We'd all been waiting. I doubted Brent or Steele had made it home already. If they had, they'd still be hungover in bed until Mama banged a pot with a spoon in their room to wake them up. Or a glass of ice water would be thrown in their faces like she'd done so many times before. "Y'all sure are in good moods this early," I said, heading straight for the coffee on the counter. I didn't want to make a big deal of Bray's being out of his room. "Norton adopted a wild Mustang. You should see that thing twist and buck. It's feral, crazy as hell," Dallas replied, as if this was a good reason to be so happy in the morning. Bray spoke then.
They're gonna break him, attempt to break him. But I'll believe it when I see it. I already told Norton I ain't getting on that thing. That bastard'll put your dick in the dirt. I figured this was a sound decision. Reckon it'd be dumb to try. Never seen a wild Mustang, but I hear they can be dangerous. Not meant for joyriding. Dallas leaned back in his chair, tucking a strand of dark hair behind his left ear. He said, I ain't scared no Bronco. That's 'cause you're still a stupid little shit, Bray replied with a smirk. I'm bigger than you, he shot back. You're bigger than all of us, I added. But that Bronco is larger than you, though apparently not your ego. His grin grew, ignoring the second part of what I said. Yeah, ain't that a bitch? Mama also loves me best. Bray rolled his eyes, replying, You're the baby. Poor woman ain't got no choice. Dallas wasn't upset about that at all. Shrugging, he unfolded his frame to stand, reaching for the cowboy hat on the chair beside him. And I'm the handsomest. Then why do they all want to suck my dick? Bray added. Dallas barked with laughter. Damn, it's good to have you back. I had to agree with him. The darkness in his eyes told me he wasn't completely back, but I'd watch him closely until he was. You working today? Bray asked me. Yeah, I am, I replied. When are you heading back to Florida? Don't y'all have to start workouts and practice soon? I wasn't sure I was going back. I didn't want to say that yet. Mama would be disappointed if I didn't go back, get my diploma, so I said, next month we'll begin. Dallas took a long swig from the gallon of milk, then looked at me. You really gonna stay here that long? I need to make sure Mama is taking her medicine regularly. Bray snorted. And that Dixie is okay. Don't deny it, you're afraid to leave until you're sure she's fine. I wasn't going to deny it. That's true, I replied honestly. Dallas was staring at me. I could see the surprise in his expression, but I didn't comment any further. Mama came walking in the door with a basket of eggs on her arm. If you just drank directly from that gallon of milk, I'm gonna tan your hide. Dallas shook his head, looking all innocent. No, Mama, I was just getting it out to pour me a glass. After he took a long swig, that is, Bray offered, taking the eggs from Mama. Dallas glared at Bray, who couldn't care less. Don't none of us want your backwash, boy, Mama scolded, her frown remaining in place, as she went to the stove to get the lard and flour, getting everything ready to start preparing breakfast. That heifer's gonna have her baby this week. She's got the look, it's about time. I wasn't sure she'd had that calf in May. Need to move her to the small ring, she said. That was meant for all, but Bray nodded. Yeah, I noticed. I'll get Dallas out there with me and we'll take care of it. Mama stopped and put her hand on Bray's cheek. You good? Worried me sick. Ain't no girl worth that. He nodded, but his eyes betrayed him. She seemed appeased, so she dropped her hand to get back to cooking. Neither of them other two came home last night. This ain't a boarding house. If they aren't here in the next hour, they'll be sleeping with that heifer for a week. Dallas looked at me apologetically. Dixie broke up with Steele. He's struggling. Brent stayed with him. Mama stopped and turned to me. She didn't say anything at first. I was ready to defend myself. It wasn't fair that everyone blamed me for what Steele was going through. She just said, guess that was coming. Good thing. She didn't love him, right? That's all she said. We went on to discuss what needed to be done on the farm until we ate and then left for work. Just as I was walking out the door, she called my name. She'd waited until the other two were gone. Keep an eye on him. He ain't right just yet. I knew who she meant, so I nodded. Yes, ma'am. I will.
Chapter 29. Dixie Monroe. The clock on the wall finally said it was lunchtime. At noon, the salon closed for an hour. Everyone was free to spend their break as they pleased.
The other employees usually used the tanning beds during this time or styled each other's hair. I occasionally got a wash and cut, but most of the time I just read a book and ate a sandwich. Today, however, I had other plans. I had decided the front desk needed a little sprucing up. A nice pot of flowers would do, and I knew just where to get them. This was not what Asher and I had agreed on last night, but I wanted to see him, maybe say hello. It wasn't like I was taking him lunch and making a scene for the town to talk about. I called out to let them know I was leaving for my break and then headed out the door, making sure I flipped the sign on the door before I locked it up. This was the only salon in Malroy, and it always closed for lunch. Customers expected it, but we still turned that sign around in case anyone forgot. For the first time in 3 years, I had opened my eyes that morning and a smile had spread across my face, a real one. It was so big it had hurt my cheeks, and I'd loved every second of it. That feeling of joy, excitement, hope were all new to me now. It was a wonder I'd even gone to sleep last night. I couldn't have dreamed up a better night if I'd tried. When I'd been younger, I had imagined something like that daily, but over time it began to hurt too much to even think about it, so I'd forced myself to think of other things just to stop the pain and tears as I closed my eyes at night. Those tears were a part of the person I'd become now, but I wouldn't miss them or the hollowness inside my chest. Asher hadn't promised me anything, but what he'd said was all I needed to hear for now. He loved me. He wanted to meet me there again tonight, and then again the next night. I hurried down the street. Denver's Feed and Seed was only half a mile from the salon, and walking there was faster than driving because there were 3 stoplights between the 2 stores. The wooden furniture that I was sure everyone in this town owned in some shape or form in their backyard and on their porches was displayed out front. Bright yellow sunflowers decorated the space, and I had to admit, even I wanted to go sit down and enjoy some lemonade. It was very welcoming. I wondered if Asher had unloaded all that. Probably had. That just made me smile even more. I didn't care at all about how goofy I must have looked, grinning all alone while walking down the sidewalk. Turning onto the gravel parking lot, I scanned the flowers on display for something affordable since I was buying these out of my own pocket. As I looked, my eyes also searched around for any signs of Asher. I didn't want to be obvious, but I knew he'd know immediately why I was here. I made my way to the side of the building where the store's entrance was. Just as I stepped into the shade of the overhang, I heard a familiar voice that made me stop in my tracks. "Time to eat, Asher. I got you the roast beef with that dark sauce you like to dip it in. I ate a few of your fries, though." The voice belonged to Hannah, and it was flirty. It also appeared to be very familiar with what Asher liked. I didn't know if I should continue walking in their direction.
"Did you get me a sweet tea?"
he asked, and I saw him then walking in from the back. His sleeveless undershirt was dirty and clung to his sweaty skin. He was wearing his cowboy hat, and it shaded his eyes. I couldn't see his face, but his tone was friendly, and he seemed pleased.
"Of course. Oh, hi, Dixie. Can I help you with something?" Hannah asked, and I shifted my focus to her. She was giving me a fake smile. It was too bright, and it didn't meet her eyes.
I stopped stuttering and pointed to a wall of hoes and shovels, then hurried toward them.
"Dixie,"
Asher's voice called after me. I was not turning around. She caught me off guard. I hadn't been prepared to speak yet. Not as I was still processing what I had witnessed. Maybe they were just friends. He said before they were friends and I believed him, but the way she had talked to him, the tone in her voice, it said something else.
"Dixie, wait."
He was closing in on me. I could start running, but then I'd look ridiculous and draw even more attention to myself. That would, of course, make Asher and I the topic of everyone's dinner conversation tonight, including my own family's. Wincing, I stopped walking and just waited on him to reach me. His fingers wrapped around my upper arm, and I let him turn me around.
"Why did you walk off?"
He looked completely confused.
I don't know, I lied. I knew I was overreacting.
He frowned and looked around.
Come out back to my truck.